Welcome to the Inside Track, brought to you exclusively by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine. I am your host and publisher, Greg Tutwiler. I'm talking today with Justin Mather in Boulder City, Nevada, about his new CD, Old Records. Justin has been performing both as a solo act and as a frontman for nearly 20 years. His rustic Americana roots music draws influence from the click-clack of Johnny Cash, the raw rock of Neil Young, and the transcendental jams of the Allman Brothers. Welcome, Justin.
Thank you.
That's a pretty eclectic influence.
Yeah, I guess it is.
How did you come about that? Was that given to you, or is that something that you felt like identified your music?
Well, actually, you know, I didn't write that. My good friend and guitar player who I've been playing with for years, he wrote that, and I didn't tell him anything what to write. And then after when I read it, I was like, you know what, that's a pretty good description of my music.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm fans of those bands, and they've rubbed off on me to the point where those influences are heard in my music.
So 20 years is a long time, really. So tell me the backstory, how you got started.
Well, I'm 35, and I was in my first band. I mean, I was in my first band, I was probably 14 or 15. Mm-hmm. So bands through high school, and I always ended up being the singer, because, you know, I played guitar, but it seemed like every ensemble that I was in, nobody else really wanted to sing, so I became the singer, front man. And it's always been that way. I'm not much of a side musician. I'm more of a rhythm guitar player. Mm-hmm. And a singer, and then I became a songwriter as well. So, you know, high school, in a couple original bands, and then some classic rock bands. I even played bass in a band. In my later years, I was like the young guy, and they these older guys, that they needed a bass player and a singer.
Okay.
So I was like, well, if somebody has a bass, I can probably figure that out, and I can definitely sing. So I played bass. I think that band was called One for the Road. So I don't know how good of an influence those guys were on me, but it was a whole lot of fun.
Now, you're playing with a band now, is that correct?
I play with a band sometimes.
Okay.
I play solo quite a bit these days.
Okay.
I flip-flop back and forth. Sometimes I'm in the mood to play with a band because I want to rock and I want to play my Les Paul and turn up my amp,
mm-hmm.
you know, rock out. And then I like to go back and play solo and go back to, you know, the basics and where it began, you know, me in my bedroom playing guitar. And I like both. So it depends on how I'm feeling. It depends on which venue I'm playing in. You know, I live in Las Vegas, so there's I play anywhere from, like, restaurants where I'm the solo guy to casino lounges where it's more of a band atmosphere, to playing clubs where, you know, there'll be three or four bands in a night and you'll have a band that plays your 45-minute set. So
okay.
I kind of do a little bit of everything as far as types of gigs, types of shows, and sizes of the ensemble.
What does it feel like the difference is from playing Vegas to other parts of the country? I saw in the information where it said you did a lot of gigs in Vegas, like you just said.
Yeah, well, I'm from Massachusetts originally.
Okay.
I'm from Western Massachusetts, from the country, you know, dirt roads, wide open country, not much going on. That was where I started.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I was in my early 20s, you know, getting my music stuff together and mm-hmm. a real band together and starting to record my first album, it just, I knew in the back of my head that if I stayed there, really, nothing was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I could have gone to Boston, but that was like 3 hours away. I could have gone to New York City, that was about 3 hours away. But there was nothing about those cities that really attracted me.
Mm.
I don't know why. And then I had this opportunity to move out to Las Vegas. Well, basically, I just decided to move.
Okay.
And
created, you know, your own opportunity.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I met a girl, and we both wanted to move. We both really liked the Southwest. We had been there on road trips before we even knew each other, and we talked about it, and we were like, let's get out of here. So we moved to Las Vegas totally on a whim. And when I say opportunity, we had a place to stay for a little while, so it kind of made our move. We didn't have jobs or anything like that, but we had a place to stay for a little while, so we were like, let's get out of here. Let's move.
Mm.
So we moved out here, and I just knew I needed to be in a city. I didn't know which one.
Mm-hmm.
I just knew I needed to be in a city. So it's been a great move for me. I mean, everybody has their own view about what place is good, you know, and if there's a lot of opportunities or not. I mean, I hear people that have lived in Las Vegas for, like, 20, like, way longer than me that say that there's not a lot of opportunities anymore.
Mm.
But it's all perspective. Where I'm from, you know, there was one or two places to play. Out here, there's hundreds.
Okay.
You know, so it's, I like it out here. I mean, it's a very eclectic as far as the people that live here are from all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, almost nobody's from Vegas. So you have a great mix of people, and it's a tourist town, so you're constantly getting a revolving door of people coming in on vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that in a way, the places I play, you almost never see the same crowd twice.
Okay.
So I really like that.
Now, the classic story, of course, is, you know, guy wants to play music, he packs up his guitar and moves to Nashville. You went all the way to Vegas. Is, you know, it's kind of the tried and true. When you get to Nashville, there's all of these songwriter circles and all of these other kinds of ways to start to get around and to get plugged in with the different groups of people. How were you able to find the avenues and begin to get the exposure that you needed to start to get the gigs when you ended in Vegas?
Well, I just started, really, when I came out here, I went to open mics all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't very long before I got my first gig. And I went, you know, knocking on doors for venues and with my CD. I had a CD at that point.
Okay.
And, you know, I got gigs pretty quickly. And then, I've been here for 8 years now. And then just over the years, you know, I've gotten a lot better. That was key. That was the first thing. You gotta get good first.
Sure.
And then, I've played not full time, but part time, almost full time for about 6 or 7 years now. So, you know, when you're playing 3-4 nights a week for 3-4 hours a night, you get a lot better, a lot quicker.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember exactly what the question was, but you know, the other thing is, you know, I like to play with other musicians, so you meet other musicians, and then you meet their musician friends, and then slowly you've got this great community of musicians that,
sure,
you know, they might have an opportunity, like the drummer might, you know, have a connection with one room, and so, you know, he calls me because, you know, we put something together and we play there and we make a connection with that venue and, you know, we do a good job and boom, you've got them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, month after month, year after year, you find yourself having a lot of connections just by, you know, hopefully being professional and doing a good job and not, you know, shooting yourself in the foot.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, before you know it, you're playing in a number of places and making decent money and you've got a number of awesome musicians to call when you need somebody, and you know, it's cool.
Yeah, no, that's cool. Now you mentioned almost full time. I saw in the notes where you average 120 so gigs a year. Is it as a full time musician, or do you have some other things that you do to generate income as well?
I worked in a bar restaurant for about 7 years, so that was like part time. That was kind of like my safety net, just to make sure, you know, I could pay for everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually it was that plus playing live. It was pretty much just the restaurant and bar and playing live.
Mm-hmm.
And then recently I started teaching guitar a little bit on the side. I had to get out of the bar scene. I had to get out of waiting tables. That was it. I didn't want 5 more years to go by and still be waiting table, so I made it my end of year resolution for last year to get out of the restaurant and,
that's cool,
you know, make up that little bit of money somewhere else. And now I teach guitar,
okay,
a few days a week, and I've, you know, bumped up my playing schedule a little bit as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I understand that you've performed all over the country. It said even busking the streets in Europe. What was that like?
When I was like 20, 21, me and a couple buddies, we went backpacking in Europe for about a couple of months, and I brought a little, like a little kid's guitar.
Mm-hmm.
It was like, I could fit it right in my backpack.
Okay.
So, I didn't think I was going to go. I was just bringing it for fun. My other buddy brought his too. And I ended up playing on the street. Like, I saw all these other musicians playing on the street, making decent money, and I was like, oh, man, I can do that.
Hmm.
And that was actually when I first started playing harmonica, because I needed more volume. I needed more notes. So I bought my first harmonica, my harmonica holder, and,
mm-hmm.
you know, I actually extended my trip by probably a couple of weeks because I was generating money by playing on the street, and it was awesome. I was in Barcelona. I was just going to stay over Barcelona, Spain for a night or two, and then I saw the buskers were making good money there, and there were all these spots to go and play in front of cafes and stuff. So I was like, "Hey, I'm just going to stay here." So I staying in a hostel, and I'd get up every morning and I'd go hit like five or six different spots for over the course of maybe 3 hours. And then a lot of times I'd make enough money in the day to pay for all my food, and then sometimes even for the room for that night.
Wow.
So I just, every day I pretty much just like treated it like a job. I'd work the morning and then take the afternoon off.
It sounds like the classic lifestyle.
It was pretty awesome, and I haven't been back, but I would love to go back and do that again,
because yeah.
there's something really free and wild, and it was just awesome.
Yeah, no, that's cool. So, as a songwriter, I presume that experiences like that influence the music that you're writing. Is that, I'm sure that's correct, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think every experience influences the music. Some experiences make it into a song, others don't, or others might make it into a song 20 years later, but everything that, you know, you experience, that I experience, makes it, is what, it's the ingredients for the music.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think, you know, if you just stayed in your room all day, every day, and didn't leave your house or whatever, you could probably write some songs, but, I mean, I think, at least for me, going out and doing things and traveling and talking to different people and putting yourself in weird, different, sometimes awkward situations is good, because it gives you material, at least for me. So I try to, even though I don't travel as much anymore, which is mostly due to a money thing, but I try to, like, go out and be around, put myself out in situations where mm-hmm. I'm around different people, and, you know, listen to what they say and observe, you know, what they do, and just trying to, like, look for material everywhere.
How often are you writing?
I was working on a song this morning right before you called.
Okay.
And I was working on it last night before I went to bed.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's a little bit every day. Sometimes a week or so will go by and I won't really do anything. I'm doing something else, and maybe nothing really occurs to me. It sounds like it'll be cool, so
mm-hmm.
I don't push it. But, yeah, I mean, sometimes I'll crank out a song a week. Sometimes, if I'm lucky, maybe a couple songs a week. Sometimes a song a month. It really has always been very up and down.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I try not to worry about it so much. I mean, sometimes I'm like, oh, just write a song, you know, for the practice, and I think it is good practice.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times they're just no good. So I really just try to be patient, and if something's not working, I just kind of let it go. But the cool thing is I record everything, and some of these little fragments of ideas that don't become songs right away,
mm-hmm.
I might use them down the line or have it, you know, something might come to me, oh, I could probably have that thing
right.
from before and finish
okay.
that. So.
And the new CD, Old Records, all of the songs on there are originals?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so tell me a little bit about the new record. This is your fourth, right?
Yeah, this is number four.
Okay.
Well, I've been working on this for quite a while now. I started recording this about 2 years ago. And let's see, there's so much to say about it. Where do I start? I recorded in Las Vegas. I recorded at a wonderful studio called the Tone Factory, which was my first point is that the last albums that I've done, the one before I kind of recorded it on my own. I did a couple songs in the studio, did some in my house, my home studio, so there was a certain quality to that one. The beauty of this new one, Old Records, is that I recorded in this amazing studio with a producer. His name was Vinny Castaldo. He's also the owner of the studio. And I had so many awesome musicians come in and play. I think there's about 10 different musicians that played on the tracks. A couple different drummers, a couple different pedal steel players, and I just feel really lucky that I was able to, in addition to my guys that are in my band that play with me, I don't always have a pedal steel player, so I called in a pedal steel player. I called in a fantastic piano player. There's a female vocalist and a fiddle player on it. So just musician-wise, I just feel really lucky to have had these people to call, and they came in and did such a great job. And then the songs are, some of them were older songs, like Little House in Vegas. I had released on a previous album, but it was an acoustic version, and that was cool and everything. But I always knew, like, you know, one day I really need to, like, rock out a version, because when I play with my band, it was always a rocking version. So I was able to do that on this one, and we cranked out a rock version of Little House in Vegas. And then there was another one, Never Settle Down, was also recorded on a previous album, and that was an acoustic version too. And I knew this one can be rocking too. So there's two songs that were previously released, and we just did them in a different way. And then, I went in. We had 14 songs going, and then when it came time to talk about song order and, you know, the flow of the album, we ended up cutting 4, and then just kept the 10 best ones. I'm actually really glad we did that, because just really happy with the way the album flows. And I wanted, like, you know, this is my 4th one. I've learned some things along the way about albums. Sometimes you make an album and a couple months goes by and you're like, oh, why did I leave that song on there? Or like, and I don't have any, like, major regrets about that, but you learn stuff about making an album, you know. Your first one, unless you get really lucky, you know, your first one's probably not going to be everything, you know. But I was like, this is my 4th one, you know, I'm not getting any younger, I gotta really make this one count. So I really was very particular about the mixes, every note and every word and every song was very carefully looked over. And then it's the same thing went for when we were choosing which songs were going to be on it. So we cut 4, so now it's 10, and I think it's solid. I'm really happy with it. Actually, I couldn't be happier with it. And now I'm just that was my dog. Now I'm just getting it out there and trying to get it through as many radio stations and magazines.
Sure.
And just getting it out there right now, because I really believe in this one.
So when you play as the band or with your band, what is the band called?
I use my name always.
Okay.
I just use my name. It's easier. I have different lineups from time to time. Some guys are like staple members, and they're always there. But for me, I just use Justin Mather.
Okay.
Keeps it easier.
And are you putting together some kind of tour specifically to the songs on this record? Is that something in the works yet?
A tour for this album? That is something that I would like to do in the near future, for sure. Right now I feel like my goal right now is to get radio play, which has just started to happen, and I want to get it out there first and get some reviews, and then book a tour around where I can see some interest happening.
Sure.
Okay. So I'm not just shooting in the dark. Right. I mean, the thing about my music, unless I go out with a band, is I'm not like a jump around dance party type of a band that's going to cut through a lot of bar noise. So I'm not into that. If I went out with a 4-piece band, we could probably deal with that. But until then, I'm more of like a listening room type mm-hmm. of a, mm-hmm. you know, I'm more of a quieter environment mm-hmm. where people actually want to come and,
sure.
and listen to music. So
yeah.
I'm trying to find out where those areas are,
yeah.
and then I'm going to plan a tour and hit those spots.
I think that's probably the goal of every musician is to have a captive audience where you're the center focus, right?
Yeah, in an ideal world, that's when that happens, it's very, very nice.
Yeah. So how can folks find out more about you? How can they find you? How can they get in touch with you?
The best way to go is to go to my website, justinmather.com. I keep it updated with shows. Everything you need to know or would want to find is on there. Links to videos, where to buy music. I keep a blog on there with exciting things that are happening.
Mm-hmm.
You know, contact. So my website is the best place to go.
And the new CD is available iTunes, other places?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, all over the place. iTunes, you can buy the hard copies through CD Baby or through my website. I'll mail you one. Amazon, Spotify, mm-hmm. it should be up on Pandora real soon.
Okay.
So, yeah, everywhere.
And the CD is Old Records. Thanks, Justin. I appreciate it. Great talking to you.
Thank you, Greg. Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure.
Yeah, me too. Thanks for tuning in to another edition of The Inside Track. We sure do appreciate you sticking around. Join us again real soon when we get together with another great artist and talking about their music. Have a great day.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.